We're absolutely delighted that you were by the channel today. And I would be absolutely delighted if you would vote for me for emergency break of the week tomorrow.
You going to be up for it?
Because, yes, I'm sure I will be up for it.
What'd you do? Oh, you cursed.
For my
you
casual
dropped an
broadcasting S-bomb. Yeah. Yesterday.
So anyway, I was going to take an S and, you know.
Well, no, I didn't say
the S.
Yeah, not. I wouldn't work scatological like you.
Just so casual here, sitting at my sports bar, drinking my beer.
What song was that, by the way?
Life of Illusion, Joe Walsh.
That's a big rip-off of Street Fighting Man.
Yeah, well.
Of Street Fighting Man?
Everywhere.
Illusion.
A little bit.
Start it again. Real quick. From the beginning.
Just go ahead and shift it. One button.
Come on!
All right, I got it. Original ideas, Holmes.
There's no such thing.
No, there's not. All right, let's get into this. Because you were down in a place that few get to go without being Uber connected.
Yes. If you missed it last week, I was rambling on about how I love the Mavericks and how they've supplanted the Cowboys as my favorite team locally.
Yes.
Cubes heard it. He was listening. And Cubes sent out a tweet saying, Corby sits next to me at the next home game in appreciation for my Mavericks love. So we hooked up, and last night was the night. And I was escorted down to Cuban's seating area by the great Sarah Melton prior to game time. And
hey now.
You do need an escort.
Hey now.
Can't think of a better one than
that's
her.
Some escort.
I know.
That fiery redhead.
She's pretty foxy.
She's looking these days.
Great, as always. Great. Fabulous.
Call me Sarah.
So I get down there, and Mark's not there. Now, if you don't know where Mark sits at the game, it's right next to the Mavericks bench. At
it's
the
not
end,
section 304?
It's next. He sits next to whoever's at the end of the bench at any given time.
He sits right behind Big Al.
Yeah. So I get down there, he's not there, and right after the national anthem, he shows up. We give each other a big man hug, and off we go.
There he is.
Now, it was beyond interesting. I mean, I can't tell you what a treat it was, and thank you, Mark, for letting me do that, because it was really neat. But now I know why. Like, I always thought if I had season tickets to the Mavericks that I would go to, like, 15 games, because it's just a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough getting to games. You get just parking and getting off work at a certain time. I mean, it's tough to go to all these games. And I wonder how guys like Nicholson and that have had these lifelong tickets to all these games show up to every one of these games. Well, if you have a ticket down there, if you're somewhere on the baseline or on the front row somewhere,
you avoid the hassle.
Well, it's not avoiding the hassle. It's the watching experience. You go. I mean, that was the...
You're a part of the game.
That was absolutely...
Right?
Yes. That's the best way to put it. That was the fastest 48 minutes of basketball, 2.5 hours I've ever been a part of. And it was a blowout against Sacramento. And no doubt...
Yes, you see the game differently, don't you?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It was the coolest Maverick experience I've ever had. With, you know what, if Mark wouldn't even have been there, it would have been the coolest experience. He just happened to be there and make it that much more interesting and exciting to me because it's such a weird phenomenon, and you know, we've seen it and known it for forever, but, and he's even mentioned this, that he is their biggest fan, and he just happens to own the team.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that all play out in real life right next to him, you can't imagine what this guy, the pent-up energy this guy has, the enthusiasm, the excitement, how into every second he is. I mean, you don't want to be talking to him during the flow of the game.
Oh, no?
I mean, he may say something to you, but you want to wait till there's maybe a little bit of lull in the action before you barrage him with questions. And mind you, I had a lot.
Did you get to ask all of them?
All of them. I mean, I asked a lot of questions. We talked a lot of basketball. And it's, you know, we've had him on the air, and we have him on the air for 15 minutes, but it was nice to be able to pick a guy's brain like that for
2.5 hours.
Whenever I wanted to for 2.5 hours. But
you know what's awesome about Ian?
When did that start?
I didn't drink.
I heard you spent the whole time texting.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what everybody's been emailing me.
So, it started...
I heard from a few of those that you texted, and let's just say there's a little bit more going on than just texting.
It was sexting?
Right.
Check it out. Right next to Cubes. But Mark doesn't sit down until the Mavericks score their first bucket. He stands. And so I like...
He's always worried about the shutout, huh?
Yeah, so I kind of stood up at one point because there was a lull. They didn't score for the first 90 seconds. And I had a question for him or a comment or something. I'm like, I go, hey, dude, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, by the way, I'm going to sit down as soon as they score. He goes, just kind of my thing. I got to stand up. I'm like, oh, that's fine. Whatever. You know, no worries. So, but to hear him, he acts like a fan. Okay, and he's right next to the Mavericks bench.
Mm-hmm.
And he is at one time yelling and applauding players, refs, whatever, carrying on conversations with these guys on the court. And what you see on TV when he's yelling at someone, he's not yelling at them because, like a fan would in section 201, where he's down there like, come on, you need to get your act together or whatever. He is talking to them. Okay, he's not bitching. He is looking a player in the eye, a ref in the eye, and carrying on a conversation. And throughout the entire game, he's talking to the refs. And you know what I learned about Mark? Is that he's right about a lot of stuff. When you think that it's just idle bitching about fouls and ball bouncing the wrong way and a ref making a bad call, the guy sits right there and has seen a lot of basketball over the last 10 years. Good basketball, bad basketball, whatever. He's seen enough to where it's very instinctive for him to notice a call, to notice 3 seconds. You know, if a guy's in the lane, you know, someone's clogging the lane up for 2 seconds, he starts yelling, 2, 3, 4, you know, yelling at the ref.
Yeah.
And you know what? They hear him, and they call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may call it without him, but he's helping him out. You know, I mean, it's there's a method to his madness. And when he's yelling at players, it's very, very weird because he'll be yelling. He'll be looking at one. He'll be looking at whoever. JJ. Yeah, he'll be looking at JJ. And you know, JJ will take a shot too soon, and he'll be like, JJ, run the offense, run the offense.
JJ.
And I'm thinking to myself, this is so weird because, yeah, you own the team, but you're also the number one fan, and he knows he can say whatever, because what are they going to say back to him? Nothing.
Yeah, so, I know. I mean, it's weird.
And JJ, you know, JJ will hear him. It's not like, but he doesn't act on it.
Right.
He might think about it, but it's not like he immediately, I mean, he's listening to Carlisle more than anybody. But then JJ comes over to the bench, and that's where the fun really starts, when these guys interact with Cuban, laughing. Now, this was a pretty lighthearted game, because it got to be a blowout fairly early in the third. So there's a lot of Jay Owen going on over there.
God.
But you know, the way that the bench play is the best, because, you know, here's a bunch of grown, spoiled, rich millionaires.
Right.
Just jerking around like it is nobody's business. They were laughing so hard at Roddy that, you know, everybody comes over to the bench, and you all you see on TV is maybe guys giving a few high fives every now and then.
But deep in the bench?
Oh, my God. It's brilliant what goes on there. Like, Roddy goes and sits down, and everyone looks over, and I'm like, do you need a medic, dude? I mean, he's just like, he was not in game shape whatsoever. So they're just razzing him. And then the funniest thing was when Jan Mahinmi fouled out, 6 fouls, 7 minutes.
Like consecutive minutes?
No. These were piecemealed minutes. I mean, you know, a minute here, a minute there. It was all late in the game.
If you're doing that in consecutive minutes, that's impressive.
It was all very late in the game. But Haywood, he goes in for Haywood, who had a really nice game, by the way.
That's what I heard.
And so Haywood's sitting there on the bench, and Jan picks up his 4th foul with like 4 minutes to go. And Haywood's sitting right next to us. He was like, come on, Jan, don't do this to me, because the game's over with and nobody wants to go in. So they're all sitting there looking at each other on the bench going, all right, who's the old, or who's the youngest? Whoever's the youngest has to go in. And Daryl Armstrong's like, I think it's me. He's one of the coaches now, right. You know. And Haywood knows that he has to go. And Haywood's like, please don't get that fifth foul. And he gets a fifth foul. He's like, no way you're picking up a sixth foul here. There is no way. And immediately, less than 5 seconds after picking up his fifth foul, he gets his sixth foul. And Haywood's like, damn it, Jan. And Carlisle kind of leans over to the bench. He's like, hey, Wood, get over here. He's just He's just shaking his head, going, "Really, really?" And Dirk's just laughing his ass off. I mean, he's seen it all.
So he's not in the game at this time?
No, no, no. Dirk was on the bench for the majority of the fourth quarter, and just sitting there. And he's the ringleader of it all.
Right.
He is. It was so much fun just watching those guys just do their thing. And joke and laugh and poke fun at each other and make fun of Sacramento and how ridiculous they were and mm-hmm. how they were calling D'Alembert the Haitian sensation. And I mean, it just to get an insight on what those guys are really like and how it, you know, at the heart of it all, yeah, they take it very seriously. And when they're in there, they're busting their ass. Mm-hmm. But when they get over there to the bench, they're us. It is J.O. session. Especially if you're winning, which I'm really glad they were.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it's really tense, when the playoffs start, obviously things change. Oh, big time ball busting. Brian Cardinal. Cuban's nickname for Brian Cardinal's dad.
Dad?
Yeah, because he looks like a dad. Mm-hmm. And it's just, he's standing up like, yeah, way to hustle, dad. Way to hustle, way to hustle. I'm like, dad. He was like, what else do you think he looks like? He's everyone's dad out there. I'm like, yeah, he kind of is. But Cuban, look, it's one thing to own the team, and it's one thing to have that kind of money, but it's another thing, and it's a different level that he has passion-wise. And I know Jerry Jones bleeds Cowboy Blue. I know he does. But there ain't no way that he is into the Cowboys. And maybe he just doesn't show it. He doesn't show it outwardly.
Hey, I'll bet all these guys who own these teams are.
I mean, it is live or die. Okay, here's a good example. They're up by 26. All right. Cuban is on his feet after somebody took a three-pointer about 4 seconds into a possession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's on his feet going, "Come on, guy! This is in the fourth quarter when the game is over." Now he's seen his fair share of teams coming back when the Mavericks were up.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't want to see a repeat of it where they get down, you know, where there's 4 minutes left and they're up by 10.
Right.
But he is up on his feet screaming at the top of his lungs,
mm-hmm.
you know, saying, come on, run the clock, run the clock.
Oh, good God almighty.
And everyone's kind of looking over at him just going, dude, you're up by 26. You realize that. You were up by 26 points at this
Who's
point.
Who's looking at him doing that? All the players?
Fans. No, the players, they are completely immune to it.
Do they just tune him out?
No, they listen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's telling, like, when Mahinmi was on the bench, you know, when let's say that Sacramento made a bucket. Well, the clock keeps running before they inbound the ball.
Yeah.
And he was begging the clock to run down. And he kept telling me, he's like, look, man, he goes, this is the time where the clock never runs fast enough. And he's telling Mahinmi, he's like, look, if you inbound the ball after a made bucket, stand there for 4 seconds. Count it down. Let the clock run. Let's get this effing thing over with. It's another thing. Who drops more F-bombs in the course of a casual conversation, me or Mark Cuban?
Well, you're the overcusser.
It is really close to a tie. I give him a slight advantage. He will drop it on you in a heartbeat and will yell it out too. I mean, anybody who sits down there, it's not like yeah. I'm giving any new information out. Anybody who sits down there and has sat down there for a while, they know his MO. It is F-bombs galore. Now, the refs, the way he works the refs, though, is probably the most interesting thing because it's not, and I know it's been beratement in the past and, you know, post-game beratement. But the casual way that he'll work a referee, and he knows every one of them by name, obviously. And I asked, I was like, is this a good ref? And I don't want to get into the specifics of it,
but he gave me
his opinion on why. Mm-hmm. And there was a point in the game where Dirk got an early foul. And he picked up too early in the first quarter and had to come sit.
Yes.
And the second foul was really bogus. And the ref comes over during a timeout, and Cuban's like, "Well, what's going on down there? Was it the other end of the court?" He's like, "That's BS. You know, that wasn't a foul." And he's like, "You watching the game, Mark? You watching the game? That was a foul, and it happened right in front of the Kings bench. I can't let that slide in front of their bench." And he goes away, and he was like, "He goes, that's what I'm talking about as far as referees go. That makes no sense to me. Mm-hmm. Why you would call a foul just because it's in front of someone's bench?" And he wasn't upset with the guy. You know, he never raised his voice to him. But he's like telling me, he's like, "You see what I'm going through? You see what I deal with here on a nightly basis? Stuff that doesn't make any sense to just the average person, especially an owner of a team." But it's, you know, it is up and down emotions, riding the wave. He's checking his phone. He sent a couple of emails or whatever, but he was all into the Lakers score, as we all were. And
was he talkative to others around him? Other fans and stuff down there? Did they leave him alone?
If they wanted to talk to him.
Did anybody
approached
try
him,
to particularly engage him, or are they all used to him, or what?
There was a point at halftime where a couple guys walked over and tried to engage him, and you know, he'll engage you. He's very appreciative of people that are there, you know? And I was telling him, too, about the media seats and how at the original Reunion Arena, the first year, you were telling me that those were the media seats where he had. He was like, "You are effing kidding me." I go, No, dude. He goes, "You know, when I bought the team, the media seats were only like 15 rows up." He's like, "There was a certain section where they put writers and stuff."
Right.
He goes, "I got rid of those sons of bees very quickly." He goes, "That is revenue."
Yes.
"That is revenue." There are a couple more things I can add. Can we get into this next?
That's enough. Yeah, because we got 6:30 open.
Okay. All right, a couple more Cuban tidbits.
But right now, more on the experience of watching Mavericks basketball sitting with Mark Cuban.
Yes.
Cubes.
So, he's telling me about, you know, how he changed the media seats and how he didn't say this, but I kind of got the sense that, you know, when he bought the team, that not only things were a mess on the court, but they were a mess off the court too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not that it was a disaster, but there was a lot of streamlining that needed to be done.
Right.
And, you know, you say what you want about Mark, but it seems that he knows business pretty well. And he may be overspending on the court, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he's trying his damnedest to make a buck off the court or within the product itself. And you know, the videos that they run up there, like, for example, in the first quarter, this is before the game even started, they'll kind of intersperse film clips and throw a head of Dirk on to some lead character or something like that, like a gladiator or something.
Whoever does that, their creative department's really good.
I asked him that. I go, because I was enjoying the one that they did, and it was Rudy, and it was when in the movie Rudy, when all of Notre Dame was chanting his name, and it looked like, and they put on Rudy's head, they put Roddy. So it looked like they were chanting Roddy, you know, and they were threw in the Roddy sounds, and there's Roddy's little goofy head bouncing up on Rudy's shoulders, you know. And so it was really funny, and I was like, "Who did that?" He's like, "Oh, that was my idea." I was like, "Okay." So it's very jocks to socks with him.
Right.
I mean, he's very involved, and it's really obvious, you know, that as many businesses as he does have, this is it. And I asked him, I was like, "So did you watch the Grammys the other night?" You know, just casual conversation. And he was like, "No, basketball was on." I was like, "Y'all didn't play?" He's like, "Yeah, but basketball was on." And I'm like, you really watch that much, you know? And he does. I mean, he keeps up with everybody. Matter of fact, I can't remember who the guy was last night on Sacramento that had a big first quarter. He had like 12 points or something like that.
Oh,
Terry or...
Yeah, Dwayne somebody.
I don't know
or,
who it was. Well,
yeah, somebody that I wasn't real familiar with.
He knew quite a bit about him, and so did Jan Mahinmi, and they were arguing over there back and forth on the bench. Like, Mark couldn't believe that he was making all these outside shots, and Mark had a very good handle on who that guy was with and where he was, what kind of player he was. I'm like, I ain't even heard of this guy, ever. So, you know, and I kind of expected that much, but it's just kind of weird to see that in action. But he's very...
I'd have been disappointed with anything else from him.
Yeah, I know.
I expect him to be into it. But watching basketball every single night, is that kind of what he does?
I think he did that beforehand, you know, before he owned the Mavericks. I think he is such a junkie. I mean, hell, you know, the reason he got rich. So he could listen to Indiana basketball. He figured out a way to do it on the internet.
Right.
To broadcast it on the internet. I mean, he is obsessed with basketball.
Yeah, Taylor's the guy's name.
Taylor?
Yeah, something Taylor.
Well, yeah, okay, so here we are. We don't even know who the guy is, and he's rattling off deep stats about him, and that's another thing. You talk about deep stats. He's sitting there telling me stuff that I'm like, how do you know this? How in the hell do you know these stats about plus-minus ratios concerning certain things? I mean, crazy-ass stats. I go, why would you even worry about that? But what is that? Why is that even a concern to you? He's like, it's all a concern. Every bit of it's a concern. So, you know, I think he's at the very forefront of that type of thing, too. I know that the deep stat is pretty common knowledge amongst baseball people and basketball people. I mean, what's that guy's name? The basketball guy? You're a fan of him.
I am?
Yeah, the deep stat guy. I can't remember his name, but, you know, Mark's on top of all that, figuring out a way to get better. And he said...
Mo McCone?
I don't know.
No, not Mo McCone.
Who's God. Mo McCone?
Never mind.
Who is that?
It's the stupidest thing ever. Stupidest thing ever said.
He knows a lot about basketball.
Who's Mo McCone?
He's an old coach in the NBA from, like, I don't know, the 70s and 80s.
But, look, it was a really, really cool experience. It's the best vantage point you could ever hope for. And if you're going to pick a guy to sit next to, it does, like I said, it doesn't matter what you think of him. It is entertainment.
It wasn't a bad piece of ass you had to your right, either. What? Did I say Mark something that, wrong?
I don't know, but mark it.
Because I got a photo.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Of you and Mark.
From where?
A camera? I don't know. Somebody emailed it to me.
A camera.
And you're sitting next to a pretty nice piece.
Yeah, and that's another thing. There's a big difference between the women that sit on the first two rows as opposed to the women in the third and fourth levels.
Gee, I don't understand what would separate them.
Wow, there's a lot of ass down there.
Jugs. That's what separates them.
Well, actually, there...
Like it does with most women.
There weren't... The women sitting next to me, they weren't what you just said.
They weren't buxom.
No, but they were very pretty ladies. Yeah. But he was also pointing up into... in the upper levels. And because I asked, I was like, how many sellouts is this in a row for you? He's like, I have no idea. And he's pointing up to the top level, and there's a smattering of empty seats up there. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you see those seats up there? I'm like, yeah. And he's like... He goes, those are $2 seats. We sell those for $2, and somehow scalpers get a hold of them, and they take them outside, and they try to sell them for $25, $35, $40, $50 or whatever. And he's like, if they can't get them, then...
They just eat them.
They eat them, because they're $2. Yep. He goes, it pisses me off. I'm like, I don't blame you. Don't blame you one bit, man. Here you are trying to do the ultimate service to people who can't afford anything.
Right.
I mean, you're in the building... You know, the video boards now are such that you can watch the whole game and you can still see what's going on in the court and everything. You're not going to, you know, the best vantage point, but you're in the building, you get the experience, you can say you went to a game for $2, and somehow these idiots get a hold of these tickets. It'd make me mad, too.
There's probably not a lot he can do about
that. There's nothing he can do about it. Nothing whatsoever. But it was great. It was a really, really cool deal. I hope I get to go on a date again with him. I don't know if he'll ask me out again, but... I really would appreciate it. It was
fun.
Did
you put out?
It was pretty easy. Yeah.
Okay. He'll probably call you back.
My pants were buttless, so he...
He what?
I mean, he had free reign. I think that's actually a prerequisite if you sit there.
That you have to put out the cubes?
Right. I hope I didn't whip his ass, though.
I'm sure you were fine.
Oh, he
That's what I'd be afraid of, is whipping his ass.
Yeah, I hope I didn't. He did give me... He's like, hey, how old's your son? I go, he's 5. He goes, would he like a headband from one of the guys? I go, yeah, sure, because he's aware of what's going on. So he's like, he has somebody, and they were like, I already gave it to a kid. And Brendan Haywood's sitting there. He's like, hey, Wood. He's like, can I get your headband? And he's like, what? You know, and he walks over there and points at me and talking to him. And he's like, yeah, after the game. Well, he goes, can he have it? And he goes, well, there's a chance I'm going to go back in. That's when Mahinmi had four fouls. Mm-hmm. So sure enough, he has to go back in. And, damn it. So after the game, he gives me his headband. And I was like, all right, thanks, man. And he hands it to me, and it might as well have been a 13-pound sponge that he put in my hand. It was so gross. I was like,
did he look at you and say, sure, little buddy?
I immediately, like, just put it in my cup, you know, because it was just so wet and heavy and gross.
That's great.
But good times, man. Good times with
Cubes. Quite a night. Good quite times. An experience.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets to do that. I hope you're appreciative.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I'm hoping you're grateful.
Oh. I sent him a very nice note today with a great photo.
You need to send him a fruit basket.
I'm sure he'd love that.
Or maybe get him a nice day at a spa.
Yeah. Maybe you guys could go together.
How about a facial? All right, up next, we take a look at the Talkers Magazine.